Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Nobody else made a reach for him. I mean, just it's one of those things that the NFL is really good at, which is quitting on people with an injury history, whether or not they should quit on him or not. At a time when there are fewer good quarterbacks than ever, this was a guy who probably somebody should have taken a flyer on him before this. And the fact that Belichick could wait 3.5 months and give him an incentive-laden low-ball contract and be the only bidder in the room, I mean, credit to him, but I'm wondering what the rest of the market's thinking.
I'm not sure I agree that it's the... You know, there's fewer good quarterbacks than ever. I think there are plenty of good quarterbacks. I also think that everything else Ray said with regards to Cam Newton's market is right and is interesting. And to me, the next logical step from that is to ask, well, maybe the market wasn't as bad as it seems, and this was actually more Cam Newton's decision than we're imagining. Like, did Cam Newton make a choice to play for the Patriots in a one-year situation that he feels like could really rehab his overall price rather than take maybe a mediocre deal from another team, figuring, hey, if I play for the Patriots and play for a year and play well, either I can stay here and make some more money or I can go elsewhere and make some more money. And I think if that's the case, you know, a healthy Cam Newton with the coaching of the Patriots staff is a pretty tantalizing prospect.
And here's what the Patriots still have. Whether you like them or not, it's hard to argue with any of the following facts. So they've got a winnable division. They've got the best defense in that division until further notice. You know, week one might come around and things change quickly in this league. But until further notice, Bill Belichick gets the benefit of the doubt for being very competent on that side of the ball. And you can argue that they have the best quarterback in the division. Best coach, best defense, best quarterback is an equation the Patriots have used to a relatively decent amount of success over the last few years. And what is really, truly proof that they are a next-level NFL franchise, while everybody's down here doing what they think is a right move, the Patriots not only play the league, they play the league like a fiddle. The fact that this comes out the exact same, not just day, but hour, that legitimate NFL news about the Patriots, that is negative news about the Patriots, talk about burying a lead. The trouble the Patriots got in for the Cincinnati thing happening, and when you look at the totality of the fines over the years, and we will in just a little bit, and timelines do matter, and it's totally fascinating, but the Patriots were going to be clobbered this Monday in a world where we're just dying to have something to talk about in sports. They had a menu of embarrassing fines dropped on them, and no one is even reading the menu because Cam Newton is tonight's special, so everyone is ordering the special. Forget about the menu. No one cares. And look, it's not irresponsible to follow the Cam Newton story as the priority because it is. This is a man who won an MVP in this league, a man who took a team to a Super Bowl. Cam Newton is a significant player coming off of significant enough injuries and question marks to where one franchise moved on. The franchise that is coming to him now has a way of finding winning formulas. And whether they cheat to get there or play on the edge of the rule book or absolutely wipe themselves with the rule book, however you want to argue what the Patriots do, you're probably right, and it always works for them. It's staggering how much they have paid the cost of winning, and they must laugh themselves to sleep every night thinking it was totally worth it.
Oh, no, it's totally worth it because the cost is never very high because nobody wants to drop a hammer on what is essentially a repeat offender. They don't care if you know what they do. They are in that way like the old first-generation Oakland Raiders. It's that, yeah, think what you want. You know, if you think that, we'll do something else. It'll be equally outside the rules, but until you tell us how to stop, we're going to keep doing it. So I think, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you lose another draft choice. I mean, they'll just get three more in another way. I mean, it's the only way. If you wanted to stop this behavior, you wouldn't say it costs you a draft choice. You get seven every year, and then you can work your way up beyond that. It's not a punishment at all. It's basically a statement of the Patriots that said, oh, you guys were naughty again. I have to sit you down in the corner for 5 minutes. And then after that, you can continue to ransack the classroom.
They look at it as the cost of doing business.
They don't even look at it that. This will cost me a nickel if I don't do it. It'll cost me a lot. Or I'm saying, this will cost me a nickel if I don't do it. It'll cost me a buck if I do it. I'll spend the nickel. Go ahead. Do your worst. Because he knows the worst is nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's spend a nickel to make a dollar, right? And it's so obviously worth it. Like, that's not even where the discussion is happening, right? Because there's no question the math works out drastically in your favor, especially when, in the specific case of draft choices, no one has been better at accumulating additional draft choices over the last 20 years than the Patriots. So it's a very silly punishment. And the NFL has told both the Patriots and all of us, with the way they've handled it, that this is really a totally okay way to handle your business.
Cam Newton, New England Patriots, 888-957-9570. What do you think of that, Bay Area? Man, oh, man, oh, man. I know that our resident show Patriots fan, Nash, our producer, is very, very excited. However, it is our other producer who actually thought he was going to wake up with a gift today because it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Lucas. How old are you now? How old are you now, young man? What
age? 29. The big
29. 29. 29.
Yep.
Wow.
Happy to be here.
Last year in your 20s. Look at
you. So old.
He's all shaven today. He looks all just trimmed up, ready to go.
Look a lot more feminine. I woke up after shaving. I felt like a chick. I didn't really enjoy it.
You do look a little more feminine. That's okay, though. That's okay. You know, it's all fluid these days.
Embrace your femininity, dude.
I did a shave myself right before I went to Mexico this year. And the minute I was done shaving, I thought, oh, I need to grow a beard. So I'm sure we'll see some facial hair that, revolves around CHP, cop, porn stash, I don't know. It's glorious facial hair. We'll be looking forward to it regrowing. But happy birthday to you. Always good to be working with you. It's always good to be talking to you today. And we got some sports to talk about, my friends. Who is in and out of the NBA bubble? We're going to get to it. Who is opting out of baseball's coming season? We're going to get to that. There is nobody in sports having a better day than Tom Izzo. And we will tell you why. Michigan State just signed one of the number one coming talents in basketball history. History. No one's ever been as decorated this early in their careers as the guy that said, I'm coming to Michigan State, did today. We're going to get into that for you. Some very interesting business divorces coming from UCLA, Under Armour. Cal could get involved in that. And the USGA is divorcing itself from Fox. We are looking at massive 15-year-long business agreements be shredded due to COVID-19, which is still flaming everywhere. We are seeing more and more tests. It is spiking all around the country. However, the good news is people aren't dying nearly as much of COVID-19 as they used to, and just looking for a good number on them. We found one, and we'll marinate in that a little bit later on. But we're just getting underway, and we look forward to talking to you a busy Monday afternoon. We got a great guest lineup today. Brian Baldinger, Tom Curran, who's a Patriots insider, will be joining us. Alex Pavlovich on what the Giants are doing with their 60-man roster. Last in baseball to turn in the 60-man. What does that mean? Clearly World Series, but how you know, are they going to sweep? That's really the only question for the Giants this coming season. We have a fun countdown coming up next week. We're naming the Bay Area's top 10 greatest athletes of all time starting Monday. I'm guessing that's today. We want you to submit your top 10 list at 957thegame.com. You can tune in all next week. We'll be sharing our top 10s, coming up with a station-wide top 10. And it is a collective groupthink, which I hear is a fun thing to do. So we will have that. We got a great show for you today, and we're just underway. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, full strength for just a couple of days this week. We got a short week. I know Matt's getting out of town on a little vacation a little bit later on. Ray and I are going to hold down the fort. I think Butcher Boy's going to show up at some point in time this week, and then we all get Friday off. Deal. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7, The Game.
Welcome, welcome this Monday afternoon. Brian Baldinger is going to join us in about 12 minutes from right now. It's been a while since we've talked with Brian. It's been a while since we've had things to talk about with Brian. I think the last big story we had in the NFL was Tom Brady leaving New England. And today's big story is, of course, Cam Newton saying yes to New England. Richard Sherman was quick to Twitter to say, you know, how many former league MVPs have had to sign for the minimum? I'm just asking for a friend. It's just ridiculous. A transcendent talent and less talented quarterbacks are getting $15 to $16 million a year. Disgusting, says Richard Sherman. And, you know, there's an awful lot about that that sort of makes sense. There's an awful lot about that that is also not taking into account how much Cam was struggling and coming off a surgery and looking like he was not going to be that player again, had an awful lot to do with the market that, again, was one team being interested in him, at least one team making an offer for him to come forward and take it. And with Richard Sherman asking, you know, how many former league MVPs have ever had to sign for a minimum? A very interesting response came in for Richard Sherman. Kurt Warner gave the raising the hand emoji. And the same thing happened to Kurt Warner. A league MVP ended up signing for a league minimum. I mean, that was in his, what, backing up New York Giant days, I'm guessing. Not starting, but
maybe like Cam Newton's coming. Could have been in Arizona, right? At the beginning.
I guarantee he was doing a little bit better in the beginning there in Arizona. But maybe at the very end. Either way, you know, it was interesting, kind of an interesting exchange between Kurt Warner and Richard Sherman, where Warner basically says, look, I am, you know, on board with what you're saying, Richard, and Cam is probably being undervalued, but there's also the reality of the market. And the market dictated Cam's decision as much as anything. You know, whether it existed or not, that is the market. And if the Chargers were going to get involved, they probably would have and should have by now. And I know a lot of people, you can't talk about quarterback openings with someone immediately going to Colin Kaepernick for all the reasons that, you know, we've been talking about. He is an important figure in the history of the NFL now. But when it comes to him being a quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, if he is not on a roster week one this year, it ain't ever going to happen. Okay? It's just we need to stop talking about him having a quarterbacking future in football if he's not doing it this year, because next year he'd be yet another year older, yet another year removed. I mean, it's now or never for Colin Kaepernick. And I don't know if Cam Newton was in a now or never situation, but he chose to hook himself to a team that is pretty good at football team. And I could see it working out very well for both. I could see how New England would be happy with the season that they're about to have. I could see that Cam Newton would take this as an opportunity to either reinvent himself, get himself back out on the market, maybe after a one-year deal, or hook on to being the next thing in New England. You know, they don't tank. They don't go 3-13. It's not Trevor Lawrence. It's the era of Cam. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, because we still don't know, you know, how this is going to play out. Because the one thing that sort of gives me pause, and the only thing that gives me pause, is that if nobody else was interested in him, I wonder what the medical on his shoulder is. And if the medical on the shoulder is not good, I could still see Belichick saying, well, we'll roll the dice anyway, because it's such a low contract that it's not only it's an M&M to swallow. It's not that hard. But let's say, for purposes of the argument, that he is okay. It is a statement that a lot of teams still don't trust quarterbacks who run, in the same way that they don't trust running backs after a certain age. It's that you're going to get hurt, and then you're never going to come back, and we're not going to invest in you, and we're not even going to look at you. I mean, when, you know, I'm surprised that Todd Gurley got any kind of offer, given his injury history. But that is the way the NFL is going now. It's, if you are a skilled position player and you have an injury history we don't like, we're not even going to bother to look. And I think that's the lesson here with Newton, because unless Tom Curran comes on later and says he turned down several better offers to go to New England, I'm going to assume that nobody else wanted him. And that's where that's the question that I would like to know the answer to, which is, why did nobody else want to bother? Because it doesn't sound like he went in and worked out for anybody. I mean, it sounds like he just sat on the shelf until the day that Belichick rolled by with his shopping cart and said, oh, gee, this is marked down. This used to be a cool thing. Why not?
That all makes sense. But I think for me, there's an added element to all of this. And look, I'm not defending this thought process, but I do think this is the thought process for a surprising number of teams. Obviously, there are a lot of quarterbacks with jobs who Cam Newton is just obviously clearly better than if he's even capable of stepping on a football field. There's no debating that, really. I think a lot of teams, just by sort of weird coincidence, are in quarterback situations where actually they feel like Cam Newton, with the uncertainty that's attached to him, is a dangerous thing to bring into the mix in their quarterback room for one bizarre reason or another. And again, I'm not defending this thought process, but I do think that is the thought process for a lot of teams, and you can almost sort of go through them. You know, even just in the AFC East, where, as you said earlier, I think he's pretty clearly the best quarterback, at least until proven otherwise. The Bills, Jets, and Dolphins all have quarterbacks they drafted within the last 2 years that they think are the future. And I don't think any of them believe bringing in Cam Newton is helpful to developing their quarterbacks, which is really the only thing that matters to their franchise at this moment, right? I think you can say that about a surprising number of teams: the Browns, the Bengals, the Texans, the obviously
Chargers.
The Chiefs.
I'm jumping on your point in the wrong way.
Absolutely.
You are right. Cam Newton is maybe good enough to be your starter, which makes him overqualified to be your backup, especially if you're developing a young starter and you don't want him looking over his shoulder as much as he's looking at the pressure coming in front of him.
Right.
And it's just an odd situation that Cam found himself in professionally, medically, contractually. They kind of all met at bad timing for him.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And some of it's because of the thing you just described with young players. Other of it is, like, if you're the Vikings and you're bleeding money to Kirk Cousins, there's no reason to add Cam Newton to the mix. That's not helping anybody in your building, right? So, like, there are a surprisingly small number of teams where it would actually make any sense for him to be in the building.
Was there only one offer? Well, Adam Schefter on ESPN today said this.
And the truth of the matter is that Cam Newton did not have any other offers from any other teams. There was nobody that was calling him and lighting up his phone, trying to recruit him to a certain city. There was one other team that did have one conversation with him. It was very brief. It didn't go very far. But the Cleveland Browns did speak to Cam Newton at one point in time, but those talks never really went anywhere. They did with New England, and Cam winds up on a one-year contract with the Patriots, which makes all the sense in the world.
Adam Schefter's got to get a better at-home microphone, that's for sure. But look, it is interesting.
Yeah, why is he on a bad Skype headset?
Yeah, what is what is the reason why Cam had so little interest? It's a combination of many, many things, but his medicals, and I think a little bit of his reputation is, you know, Cam Newton at this point, having been an MVP, is pretty much who he is. You know, North Turner, when he got his hands on him, made him a more efficient quarterback. And Bill Belichick is probably one of the rare few coaches that, you know, hey, as soon as that guy walks in the room, it doesn't matter what you accomplish. You should listen to him. He's got a track record of success. And Newton was in very few situations to step into a room that offered him a chance to maybe reinvent him. I do know this. Look, Bill Belichick, whatever is left in him, will get it from him. There's no doubt. And if he is a temporary situation, Cam better look the hell out, because I could see Bill Belichick call 200 running plays out of the quarterback position like he is Lamar Jackson, if that's the new way to win football games for a year.
You know what, though? He's also going to be protected by what will probably be the best offensive line of his career. So, and have probably the smartest play caller of his career in Josh McDaniels. So I do think the circumstances work really well in his favor. And for what it's worth, although certainly some of the last two or three years he has looked bad in terms of not being healthy while on the field, last year was the first year of his career where he didn't play at least 14 games. So it's not like the guy has been what you'd call injury prone or has missed a ton of time. You know, at 31, is his body just wearing out? It's a risk. It's part of the risk you're taking and part of the reason you're able to get him for the price you did. But he's a big, strong dude. And for most of his career, that's kept him on the field.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that Carolina treated him as the big, strong dude who could never get hurt. And if I have a criticism of Ron Rivera, it's that he, too, viewed him as though he were a linebacker who could take a million hits and keep going. And I think there's a point, well, last year when T.J. Watt injured his shoulder, you know, and I mean, that was the lesson right there. Carolina used him as though there was no warranty on him.
Well, but that's not even...
They were just going to plow through him. And ultimately, I mean, because even though he did play a lot of games, he played a fair amount of those hurt because he was one of those guys who says, I'm never not going to play.
You know, I do think, though, just to defend Carolina a little bit and how they use Cam Newton, he was, just like Shaquille O'Neal in the NBA, he was the hardest player in the league to officiate. Whether that was fair or foul, he did not get the benefit of the doubt from a lot of whistles that would have gone to quarterbacks, but he was almost treated like a running back playing quarterback, I thought, by officiating, and that had as much damage as any play calls, or maybe Rivera never read the room, but that's part of it, and we are happy to welcome in Brian Baldinger, a part of it here on 95.7 The Game. Always good to have you on. Brian Baldinger here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. What's up, Baldy?
Hey, good afternoon. Look, it's all good here. We're a month away, you know, hopefully. And so it's just time that the calendar's going to turn to July. The temperature's going to be triple digits, and it seems like it's just be time to start playing some football.
Look, I know that there's an awful lot of hand-wringing on Twitter and giggling about how committed to Jacob, you know, Stidham, the New England Jared. Patriots. Jared Stidham, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I think Bill Belichick was ready to roll with him unless the value for Cam Newton presented itself, which it did, and then he jumped on what might go down as one of the greatest for sale items any team has picked up in a while. Who knows?
They've done that a lot. They did it with Chris Long. They're always looking for bargains. They let guys go, you know, too soon. They let Wes Welker go. I mean, they let guys go. They've got a certain price that they want to pay. If they can meet that price, they hang on to them. If they can't, they kind of let them go. It's the way they've done business. And it's not a bad way to do business. I mean, the worst thing you could do is get old and slow or old and unproductive and pay high salaries in the NFL. Sometimes you're right when you release guys, sometimes you aren't. And so Richard Seymour, I mean, there's a lot of guys that have come through the Patriots that have been really key figures that have let go. But, you know, Cam Newton came at the right price. I expect Josh McDaniels to have a playbook for him just the way they did when Jacoby Brissett went in there to play. I mean, he ran plays that Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo had never run. And so I think the playbook will alter it. It does at every position. It will cater to Cam Newton's strengths.
How much, and this may be an unfair question because there might be a million reasons why this happened. What is the general philosophy around the league on why he didn't get even an educated sniff from anybody else? Did everybody operate on the assumption that once broken, twice not worth it? Or were they trying to figure out whether he was disruptive in the room? What was the unifying theory that kept everybody else away from him?
I can't speak for, you know, any of the 32 teams and the discussions they might have, but I mean, everything that I had heard was that it was about getting him cleared for physical. And we were in a quarantine world and people weren't traveling and it was hard to get physicals. And I think they just wanted to see, you know, Liz Frank injury that he had a year ago, they all heal differently. And you can't really know until you get them some kind of a workout, you put them through a physical, whatever. And I just think that was the prohibitive thing. And also the shoulder. I mean, just how healthy was the shoulder? He played a game and a half last year. And so you never really knew if the shoulder was really healthy. But that's what, you know, that's what precipitated their fall from 6-2 in 2018 to a collapse, you know, down the stretch, was the shoulder just wasn't healthy and needed surgery. So two major surgeries, and I think they just needed somebody to really look him over. And I think I thought that if somebody could have done that earlier, he would have been signed earlier.
I think everyone can agree that this is a good value for a former league MVP. How much does this change the prospects for this year's Patriots in your mind? I mean, does it take them from, you know, possible not even winning the division into title contention? Does it take them from mediocre division winner to great division winner? What's the spread on this addition?
Nah, you know, it's hard to say. You know, I know Vegas has them about a half a game better right now, but it really is hard to say right now because you just don't know how quickly he can assimilate this offense. They're just not going to hand him the job. He's got to be productive. He's got to understand the checks and, you know, all the nuances. I'm sure it's not going to be Tom Brady's playbook. I mean, it'd be foolish to give any quarterback Tom Brady's playbook. Billy Bryan tried to do that in Houston a long time, and, you know, he ran quarterbacks through there pretty quick. So it's going to be – we got to find out what version of it is. But I imagine that they've won the division 10 years in a row. To me, they're still the favorites in the division, whether Cam is a starter or not, just simply because they have such a stranglehold on everybody else. And I know everybody else looks like they've improved on paper, and Buffalo certainly has gotten better. And they played the Patriots tough last year, but they still haven't beaten them, and they've owned Buffalo. So, you know, whether Cam starts two games or 10 games or 16 games right now, I believe that they're still the favorites.
Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game. A lot has happened in the NFL, even though so much is not happening in sports. There are some headlines we haven't even had the chance to ask you about. What do you think of the Kyle Shanahan contract extension? A no-brainer for the Niners? And do you think that John Lynch comes along next?
Yeah, well, you know, they came in together with a six-year contract, kind of married at the hip. And generally, you kind of like to do both at the same time. Now, you know, I don't know what precluded Kyle's getting done first, but I imagine John's going to be right there with him. But it was a six-year deal. He's 3 years into it. He takes his team to the Super Bowl. You just don't want to let a guy like that get close to the end. You know, he's young. He really enjoys it. He's got a dynamic offense. You'd want him to be there for a decade. Two decades. I mean, you just want him to be what Pete Carroll is in Seattle, what Bill Walsh was there for a decade in San Francisco. You want him to be that guy, and you want him to let him know that he doesn't have to. He's got young kids. He doesn't have to think about ever moving, pulling his kids out of school, doing anything like that. He can settle in and do what he loves to do, which is tinker and grind and call plays.
Speaking of contract extensions, Baldy, what's the magic number, the per-year average, to get Kittle done on a long-term deal?
It seems like you got to get to somewhere around the $20 million mark. I mean, Amari Cooper signed for $20 million a year. He's a wide receiver. George Kittle, to me, is as valuable as anybody on that offense. With him, without him, you see the difference in the run game. He's the best blocking tight end in football right now, and he's lethal after the catch. I don't know. I mean, I imagine it's somewhere around the $20 million mark per year right now. It seems like, you know, I don't know what Travis Kelce's making off the top of my head, but, you know, it's usually the next guy up, you know, sets the bar. And I think George will set the bar right now for what he has done.
We always talk about the Super Bowl hangover, particularly with a losing team, and oftentimes those teams sort of struggle the following year. Does the weird offseason, maybe a less active offseason in your mind, contribute to the hangover or potentially have kind of a refreshing effect that lets them start fresher in the next season?
Well, I mean, they're just one of the, you know, the few teams that have had no turnover for the most part. I mean, Joe Staley retires, but, you know, they get Trent Williams coming in. I mean, there's been very little turnover within the team. They lose, you know, DeForest Buckner, but they draft Javon Kinlaw. I mean, they kind of have just reloaded, and they probably have had as little change as anybody in this whole business. Generally, when you take a team to a Super Bowl the way the 49ers did a year ago, you at least lose coaches. You know, to my knowledge, they haven't lost any coaches. Usually they're more difficult to replace than players. And so just the fact that they have been stable throughout, I think, you know, probably bodes well for a no hangover right now. I mean, everybody else seems to, you know, the Rams had a lot of turnover in coaches and in players. Seattle has got to figure out what they're going to do with this defense right now and how they're going to get to a quarterback. I mean, Arizona's on the outside, but they've gotten better, and they improved a year ago. But I think San Francisco's the class of the division. If you win the division, then you're going to have a good chance in the playoffs because you're going to have a home playoff game. So I think the fact that they've had such stability this offseason, you know, goes well with them right now. Now, obviously, the injuries at wide receiver can, you know, that might, you know, we'll see where they're at, you know, when they come the opening day right now. But, I mean, that certainly can't be a good thing with the injuries that they've had.
Yeah, don't like seeing at all. Brian Baldinger here. Final question for you. Players are working out together in groups despite COVID restrictions and social distancing. And it feels like players are going out of their way to not just practice under the circumstances, but almost mock openly the concept of not practicing in the name of safety standards. And they're standards that are being enacted by the own medical expert that the union employs. Like the NFLPA's medical expert said, guys probably shouldn't be working out right now. Tom Brady does it and posts on Instagram. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Wrong message, or just that's why these guys are pros and you can't stop that, period, end of story. That's football.
Yeah, NFL players put an S on their chest every day. They want to be Superman. They want to think like Superman. They want to be Superman. To them, getting this virus is like getting the flu. I mean, that's how they think. And they're bigger. They're better than that. They're bigger than that. It's not going to knock them down. Now, you know, the people from the CDC and the WHO and all these organizations, they could tell them that they're being foolish, but that's how they think. I'm going down to Dallas, you know, next week. Lane Johnson's having his annual offense line camp. He's going to have, I don't know, 30 or 40 offense linemen down there working out. I've asked a couple times, look, Texas, they've got some numbers that are spiking in Texas. You guys still going? Yeah, we're going. So, you know, they're in the best shape of their life. They're the cream of the cream of athletes, of human specimens. They feel like their immune system is just immune to it. And if they get the virus, that they're going to knock it out in 2 or 3 days and probably go sit in a sauna and sweat it out. You know, that's kind of how they think. And you can't really say they're wrong, because the mentality they have is why they're in the NFL and why they stay in the NFL and why Tom Brady wants more. They're hungry, and they're just not going to allow their abilities to be compared to use an old phrase, you know, in an old, you know, book. They're just not muggles. They've got special powers.
There he is, the man who's been in an awful lot of huddles and knows what he's talking about, Brian Baldinger, NFL Network. Thank you so much, my friend. Great talking to you. Take care. Have a safe trip to Dallas.
Thanks, Damon. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Good to have him on. Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game. Your calls, your thoughts, the NFL. What a nice little offseason we're having after all. Interesting things. We'll take it. By the way, it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Monday afternoon here on 95.7 The Game with actual sports news to talk about. Brian Baldinger just on with us. Fantastic conversation as always with Baldy. We'll replay that for you late in our 5 o'clock hour in case you missed the whole thing. But I want to come back here with pretty much where we ended our conversation. I asked Baldy about, you know, players going to work out right now. And even their own medical advisor, the players' union medical advisor, saying it's not time to be working out together right now. But players are at that age. Look, there's an age of invincibility in just all young men. And I'm guessing young women feel that way, too. Just totally invincible when you are in your late teens, your early 20s, where so many of these athletes are. And listen to what Brian Baldinger had to say. This might not be politically correct at all, but there is so much truth to this.
Yeah, NFL players put an S on their chest every day. They want to be Superman. They want to think like Superman. They want to be Superman. To them, getting this virus is like getting the flu. I mean, that's how they think. And they're bigger. They're better than that. They're bigger than that. It's not going to knock them down.
You know, it's the second time I'm going to use the phrase today, the cost of doing business. I think a lot of guys are out there saying, if in personal workouts I were to get it, that's just the cost of doing business. And by the time the green flag drops, I'll be ready to race.
I agree that that's what they think. They are, of course, wrong. And the idea that, I'll just fight it off, no problem. Maybe, in fact, probably. But, you know, Rudy Gobert still can't smell right. You know, and while that may seem, first of all, it doesn't seem like it should affect his ability to play basketball. And second of all, that might seem like a relatively small sacrifice. Who knows? What if it was, instead of 20% of his ability to smell was gone, what if 20% of his lung capacity was gone? Then you can't play like you used to. So I think being that cavalier with this virus is not smart, no matter who you are.
Well, and quite frankly, given the way the NFL views contracts with players, if any of them got it while working out away from the facility, they could easily concoct a case for, you know, voiding the contract and paying nothing. So there is a risk, you know, beyond, oh, gee, I don't get to feel like Superman anymore. And the idea that somehow players think they're bulletproof seems insane in a sport that has the level of injuries that this sport does. It just in general, that the philosophy that it won't get me, and even if it does, it's the flu, flies in the face of the logic of playing football and the logic of living in a country where we don't bother to ask people to wear masks very often. I mean, the idea of living on the edge is only entertaining and fun till you fall off the edge. And Rudy Gobert is the working example. It's been 3.5 months and his body still isn't right. I mean, is that how you want to roll the dice with your career, a career that could end, you know, at any point, you know, blowing out a knee or, you know, breaking a shoulder or concussions? I mean, there's no logic to this. And the idea that, well, they're bulletproof and they just think they're Superman. No, just not. No, the evidence says you're wrong.
But that is the logic. Evidence. That's how they're thinking. This, I'm not saying that this is the right way to think.
Oh, no. I understand.
But this is how they're thinking
on them. Yeah. No, this is why they're wrong. And this is why their teams should basically not, you know, wait for the union recommendation. They should say, don't do this. If you do and you catch the virus, we're not paying you. At that point, you'll see workout numbers dwindle.
If there were a threat of a paycheck, you're right. No one would go. How about that? There's not a single person out there doing this for their health. I mean, literally, not doing it for their health. They're doing it to become better football players. And if you're going to jeopardize my better football player paycheck, I'm not going to try to become a better football player. I mean, yes, if you threaten their paycheck directly, that would be something else. But there is no benefit to a team doing that. It's not. Practice all you want, fellas. Practice when we're not on the clock. That's beautiful. That's what we're hoping for. That's how these guys are wired. I mean, it's the difference between, well, there's a lot of difference between us and them, but that's what makes them professional athletes in that ultimate 1% of physical specimen that leaves the rest of us, you know, physiologically in the dust.
Yeah, but teams ought to be worried about it if guys are doing things that are irresponsible in terms of catching or transmitting the virus. You know, I think everything you're saying is true in terms of what are the facts, what are people actually doing. But, boy, is it going to look bad if Tom Brady catches coronavirus and the initial diagnosis response is like, he's experiencing mild cold flu symptoms. We expect him to be better in a week. And then the cold flu symptoms go away, but he's just not gotten his full lung capacity back. And then all of a sudden it's preseason. And Tom Brady still doesn't have his full lung capacity. And then it starts to drag into the regular season. Like, now what is the conversation? So to me, the risk reward, yeah, you want Tom Brady to practice, but he'll have some time to practice. And he's Tom frickin' Brady. Like, you're telling me training camp and a couple preseason games isn't enough to get him comfortable with the best pair of wide receivers in the whole damn league? It just seems like the risk-reward of extra practices, when the practices you're already going to have are going to be reasonably unsafe.
Yeah, guy in the text line
says,
why
do this?
You know, it's not about Nick Bosa getting sick. It's about Nick Bosa then visiting his grandparents or a young family member and then getting them sicker. Look, you're
not to the
choir.
NFL.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir. This show has been firmly planted in that position the whole time. But a way that Nick Bosa could go work out and then not get his grandparents sick is to not visit his grandparents. You know, I mean, there is that option, too. It's not like everyone has to run home and hug their eldest family member after an NFL workout.
Tom Brady's got a wife and kids, though, so it doesn't have to be the grandparent dynamic. You know,
sure.
There's no valuable reason for them to do this, except that they're bored, and they'd be starting camp soon. Tom Brady can't sit still, and that seems like a pretty thin reason for the Buccaneers to go, okay, do what you want, even though this seems crazy to us. Tom Brady is basically their future right now. And it's not Bruce Arians' call. It's Joel Glazer's call. And he should be the one saying, Tom, no. You work for us. You're not an independent contractor. But they don't do it because they don't think they have leverage. And the fact is they do. And no owner in any sport anywhere in the world has more leverage than an NFL owner.
I wonder if you're going to ever find an NFL owner who says, you know what, boys, stop practicing your free time. It's just not going to happen. It's just never, never, ever going to happen. It might be the safest message to send, but on every other level of football, it's the total wrong message to send. And this is still football more than it is everyone gets to leave healthy and everyone's family never got sick ever, ever again. These guys would happily kill an ant or two for a Super Bowl trophy, and there's a lot of truth to that, as much as it might be a nasty thing to say. Sacrificing one's health is a deal you make at the starting line of every single football career that's ever been played. I will be less healthy at the end of this career than I am going into it. Every single guy knows that, and that, of course, has always meant physically healthy, torn ligaments, broken bones, that sort of thing, jeopardizing neck injuries, the worst and the worst, CTE, all that. Now there's an element of germs that is still attached to all elements of everything, so we're still going to go be football players. Like, I get it. I get why they're doing it. How about this? You talk about players who represent teams' futures testing positive for COVID-19 that has happened in the San Francisco Giants organization. Hunter Bishop, has just tested positive for coronavirus. He's going to miss the start of camp, obviously. He was the 10th overall pick of the 2019 amateur draft. So a big part of the Giants' future is already at home with COVID-19, and we hope that the young man has full recovery, is fine and dandy, and gets through it. I don't know what his symptoms, if any, are right now, but it's the kind of thing where, you know, who doesn't have it these days? It's kind of everywhere, and it's spiking, and it's while all of that is happening, while every single spiking, growing number is officially concerning, you know what's less concerning? Mortality rates. Fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer people are dying over 7-day stretches of COVID-19 now than ever before. And I don't know what that means. Maybe it means that the medical community is having more success responding case by case across the board. Or I don't know what's going on. But as numbers continue to go up dramatically, they are lowering in the most important category there is. Did you die? Fewer people are dying now than before. Now, 2 weeks from now, maybe that number happens again. But there's never a time to not say, well, 2 weeks from now, it might be worse. We've been saying 2 weeks from now for 3 months.
Yeah, and it's been predominantly the death number that you cited is one of the few numbers that has gone down. But for the most part, more people are getting it and more young people are getting it. So all the old tropes about, well, this is only something that old people get, and this is something that only people with respiratory issues get. You know, those are getting knocked down on a daily basis. So on the whole, the news of the virus in the United States of America has been how we've ignored prudence because we don't want to be impinged by anybody when we go to the store. And the fact is, that's the big reason why the numbers are, you know, it still looks like, you know, great numbers in the stock market. They're just shooting right off the graph, and there's no guarantee that the death numbers won't jack up again in 2 more weeks, like you said. It just, all you know is every day is a snapshot of numbers, and the positive tests are the one snapshot that never changes because they are all still looking like a mountain range.
At what point do you say, oh, by the way, welcome everyone to your 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
At what point do you say the numbers are so widespread? How about this? This is what I wanted to say. The only chance we ever had to get our arms around it has since passed, right? Like the ship has left the harbor. There is no safe way of getting this done right at the beginning, which was the safe way, correct way to do it. So at what point do we come back to the phrase I've been using for weeks now? Because it seems like the official plan is take the punch. So, I mean, gentlemen, I'm looking at this, and if you told me week one of the NFL stadiums were going to be at 100% capacity, I would believe you. I would believe you. I wouldn't say it's safe. I'm not going to tell you that I'll be there. I'm not going to tell you it's a good idea for anyone. But if you want to do that, how am I going to stop you from doing it? Because he's...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.